Approaching on a 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. On at 15 seconds, guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff, 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
We are concerned not merely with the technical problem of securing and maintaining peace, but also with the important task of education and enlightenment.
So, Desta, do you ever have any experiences with hitchhikers? And ever hear of any you want to talk about?
Should I say those two?
Yeah. Was it anybody?
Not a hitchhiker. I've never had
okay.
a hitchhiker.
Maybe but you had it in the time when you run up against that energy. So it may have been you had an experience where somebody has the energy and you're sort of in with them and this energy is there. And you
or
can
other
feel this
stories.
Energy, as opposed to not closing the session and then suddenly it's following her around or whatever.
Right. I'm just trying to think of other areas where we've heard of hitchhikers before outside of Skinwalker Ranch.
Well, one of my aunts used to do tarot cards and stuff, and I mean, she brought crazy things to one of her houses, and she would get like knocks on the window and flies in the window, and
oh, wow.
She would put her tarot cards outside of her door, and the ring around her door would smell like fish, rotten fish and stuff, and there's a lot
wow.
of people that bring stuff.
You hear stories like
back.
That.
I think it's part of the phenomenon, because Chris Bledsoe, mm-hmm. when he had his experience in 2007, he started getting the shadow people. So he had the shadow people, and then we had this argument because the dog got injured, and we were having this sort of debate as to, you know, what it caused. And he thought it was the shadow people. I said, "What do you mean? Why the evil?" And he said, "Well, they're dark, and he would explain they're going two dimensional along the wall, and they were in the ceiling and stuff." And everybody had talked to everybody in the family, and they all experienced them. But there was no sort of negative thing. So then I contacted Lisa Romanek. And I said to her, I said, "Hey, did you get the skinwalker or the shadow people stuff?" And she says, "Well, yeah." She says, "You want to see some photos of it?" And she would say to them, she showed me these photos of shadow people.
I saw those, yeah, they see.
And then she said to me that she would say to them, "When you leave, close the door behind you." And it was the same concept of cutting it off.
Wow.
But then you take Chris Bledsoe. So Chris Bledsoe has the experience. And his is very sort of, he's Pentecostal, Southern Baptist. It's all very positive. So what happens there? So Bob McGuire goes there with his wife. They go home, and it follows them home. But what happens? They get healed. Both of them get healed. So that's the whole thing. It depends what your vibration is. So again, Chris is having all this positive stuff going on, a lot of activity, and these particular guys, are three different episodes of Skinwalker Ranch over the years, and it's this one particular group has this very sort of negative thing, which they're now turning into this book of this, you know, threat to national security and all this kind of stuff, and you get it. And to me, it just looks simple, like they ran up against paranormal phenomena.
Why do you think they wrote this book? What do you think would motivate these guys to bring this book out now?
Well, they're in front of Congress and they're trying to get money, and they're playing this, you know, this story that it's a threat to national security, and it's got to do with UFOs, and we have to deal with this. Now the Russians may get it, and all this kind of stuff. And so it's a promotion. It's like Pandolfi. I was even thinking today, Pandolfi, the minute he saw this thing, he said, "This is a techno scam." He said, "These are guys, they used to go after billionaires, and then they ran out of guys with billions of dollars who didn't want to pay their taxes and wanted to get involved in some crazy free energy thing, and they ran out of billionaires, and now they're going after the government." And that may be what it is. It's no different than selling anything else. So you say, you know, I got a cure to cancer, or I've got some new development. I'm going to take you to Mars within 5 years or whatever. And everybody's selling something because there's all this money. And you make your proposals and stuff. So they're promoting this sort of thing. It's the way they're spinning it. So they had these experiences. All these experiences happen on Skinwalker Ranch. But it's the interpretation of what's actually going on, which comes to the question I may want to ask you or both of you. Is the whole idea of where does this negative energy comes from? So they're saying, you know, it's evil aliens, and to me, it's this whole idea that if you build a physical house in the physical world, you can build a house in the spiritual world. So if you have a murder or a suicide, or you have like the whole thing about the Ute tribe and these buffalo soldiers or whatever, cursing people and doing voodoo and stuff like that, you create this area that has all this negative sort of energy, and you can create positive energy, but the energy
maybe
is actually
maybe
there.
Maybe it's like an amplifier. Maybe that whole place has become like an, I don't know, some sort of site where all these things happen, and now it's anything that you bring there is amplified, maybe, right? Negative stuff is amplified because the ridge, the whole ridge of Skinwalker Ranch is that big kind of mountain that juts out, you know, and those are considered sacred sites in a lot of
Native tribes. That's the point, is when you take a look at the Ute and all this stuff, and they're talking about sacred sites, if you're the government, you know, secular religious guys, they're saying, hey, bull, this is all nonsense. This religious stuff, there's curses and spirits, and it's all nonsense. And we got to go to the point that, yeah, this stuff's for real. That's the whole thing why it's happening.
There's something to it.
Yeah, there is this spiritual, weird, non-physical stuff that's going on there. And that, to me, it's when you start looking at the curse thing, because it's not just Skinwalker Ranch, which is where they're turning it as well. They're saying Skinwalker Ranch, 480 Ranch. I told you, I got Ron Johnson, a friend of mine, who has this friend of his, who has stuff, and I guarantee you, you see the photographs in this ranch, there's nothing on Skinwalker Ranch that comes close to this. Mm-hmm. And it's near there, so it's that whole Uinta Basin where this curse thing, and that's where I think that may be, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. If you take a look at this thing with the curses, when you look at Claris, you had the story they always bring up, oh, these two people died. And the one woman came in and she said, oh, they sucked the blood out of me, which is cultural stuff. They believe that the UFOs are sucking blood out of them. They got these two little marks, which you have all sorts of abductees have the marks on their body. And then that afternoon, she dies of a heart attack. And I asked you before, this whole idea that in voodoo stuff, people say it doesn't happen, but it does happen. We're in the voodoo thing where the people believe. You got to have the belief system. The people have to be raised in that culture and believe it, where the guy points a bone at you and you're dead within a couple of hours, and you have a heart attack. So the people, and that's what Jacques Vallée said about Claris. They asked Claris, because he went down and investigated, and they said, well, what about Claris? And he said, well, you've got to understand the culture of the people. They go to Roman Catholic masses in the morning and they go to Mbanda ceremonies in the evening. It's the culture. It's this culture of belief. And your belief, it's like Seth says, what you believe, you manifest. Mm. That you can do it. And if you've got a very strong belief in this kind of stuff, that's how your world's going to work. And whereas we wouldn't believe that kind of stuff here, but if you go down to your
term, psychosomatic.
But there's a huge thing with that and tons of studies done with that. Even people that are diagnosed with cancer, diagnosed with anything, any terminal illness, there's a lot of people that are told you're going to die, you only have 3 months to live, and there's a huge percentage, I can't remember, but I used to study that stuff like 20 years ago, but there's a huge number of people that die on the day that the doctor said that they were going to die, because it's just a countdown for them. So if you believe the doctor so much that what he's saying is true, then 3 months, that's a 90-day countdown, right? And then people will literally, like, end their own lives psychosomatically because they believe what the doctor said. And maybe if the doctor didn't say that, if he said you probably have a year to live, the person might have lived the whole year. Or for the people that think the opposite, go, there's no goddamn way I'm going to die in 90 days. I'm living forever. And then they spontaneous remission, right? And then they are, like, 5 years later, they're still alive. So because it is based on your belief system, I totally think so. It's like the placebo effect.
Yeah, and that's what science does. It says we explain stuff. And I say, no, you're not. You're just describing stuff. So they say, oh, it's just spontaneous remission. It's just placebo. And I go, who the hell's that? I mean, you just gave it a name. That doesn't explain anything. And when I did a study, when I was at university, I did a death and dying course. And I spent the whole course going to hospitals, to chaplains. I wanted to see all these weird things around people dying. Do people actually predict their death and all this kind of stuff? Or and I said, is there any miracles? Do you ever see any miracles where people, it's the very last minute and they get up and walk away? And he said, oh yeah. But they always come back. All the chaplains. And I didn't go to doctors, nurses. I went to chaplains. Because they're the ones that are there when they're dying. Right. The doctors, nurses, they're doing their thing. And then they always said, but there's always a reason. That the one example they gave me is this guy, his first granddaughter was going to be married. And he suddenly just, they said, stop the treatments. He's like within hours of dying or whatever. And the guy went to Morton or Morris or something for this wedding. And he came back and died. And the other one was some woman, her brother. She had taken care of her brother for her almost a whole life. And the guy couldn't do anything. He couldn't cook. He couldn't do anything. And so she said, I've got to solve this. And she resurrected from the very last minute. She was within hours of dying. And she spent 2 years getting her brother already, putting him in an apartment and teaching him all this sort of stuff and how to run money and stuff. And she came back to the hospital and died. And it's that whole idea that it's, in the end, I think it's all belief. You are your belief system. People don't believe that. They don't believe how much we are part of what, or like Seth says, what happens around you is your belief. You are creating what's happening around you. And people don't want to believe that. They believe there's this outside world, and it's attacking us, and we're victims, and all that kind of stuff. And even the thing of when you actually accept the fact, and you have the belief system, then you can turn it around. As long as you think you're a victim, you're dead in the water. Mm-hmm. But if you actually believe, like even Ron Johnson, they told him he'd be dead in 6 months, I think. And it's like 2.5, 3 years later, and he said, I'll be back in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And he even says his family doesn't even believe he's dying, but he's only got 14% of his heart, but he's determined. And that's this idea that belief is extremely important. And so when you look at this stuff that's going on the ranch, what attitude you bring in is going to affect what's actually going on. And you see more and more with the stuff in UFOs that people are describing this, you know, when they're praying, or when you see Tyler D. Like, Tyler D is this high-level guy. He's got to know something. Like, why is he suddenly...
And he also has protocols that he does every day. Pasalka mentioned that in the book. He goes through this ritual that he does every day that he says it puts him more in touch with the source.
It's a bizarre... Where he sleeps for 8 hours, then he gets up, and then he goes back to bed. He says, it's important, you've got to go back to bed for 1 hour.
Oh, that's
then he
right.
gets up, and then he gets this tall glass of water.
The water, yeah.
And he lives in Florida, and then he goes and sits on the back deck in the sun, and he drinks the water, and the beings start talking to him.
It makes me wonder if guys... like that, intelligent guys that work for the government, work for NASA and some of these clandestine groups know all this stuff and have been practicing this for a long time.
Well, that's the question I ask. Are they playing a game here? Like, where's the OSAP report that they did? Like, what do they really know? Because when you start seeing this stuff, like I mentioned this thing with Joe McMonagle. Joe McMonagle is 001, the top remote viewer, the first remote viewer guy that they did. And he's like 50% accurate, and he's hit all these super top secret targets that he can't talk about or whatever. And he talks about the fact that he has a near-death experience in 1970, and that opens him up. That's the trauma event, and it rips the filter, and he's suddenly going out of his body and stuff. And the military picks him up and starts targeting him on targets around the world out of body. So they know. They you're never going to hear the military talk about the fact that they're using people going out of their body in an out-of-body experience to look at foreign targets, and yet they know that, but they're not talking about it. So the question is, or when Kit Green says to Peniston, and Peniston says to him, so what the heck are you doing? And he said, well, it's propulsion. He said, what do you mean, bullshit propulsion? You think I'm stupid? Like, what do you mean, propulsion, it's not propulsion. He said, well, maybe I used the wrong word. We're trying to figure out how does the phenomena pop in and pop out just as quickly. And that's the whole thing. They're on this level, or when you see Kit Green with this woman, where he's talking to this psychic, and she's talking about these underground bases and multidimensional stuff, and he's going, hang on, let me write that down.
He's doing this all the time. The Guardians opening up portals, I think is what she said, about the Guardians.
Or when he says to Burroughs, like I said to Burroughs, I heard it from one of the researchers, that Burroughs had been told to do Vipassana meditation, and a certain type of yoga. I can't remember what the yoga was. And I went to Burroughs and said, did Kit Green actually tell you to do that? And he said, yeah. He said, really? He told you to do that? And then I said, did it help? He said, yeah. It opened it up. He could suddenly get better contact. So that's the thing, is you start to understand, they know more than what they're saying, and yet they're playing this sort of game that it's nuts and bolts type stuff. It's just...
When are we going to go down to Skinwalker Ranch? We've got to go down.
I put that thing on the orbs, because they had the whole thing about the orbs. You remember the thing where they had the one they had? It was a big thing. They had that beam coming out of the thing. And they went, holy cow! It's like one of the episodes.
What was
beam.
This?
One of the Skinwalker Ranch episodes. One of the first year or something. Mm. And they picked up this beam in the light, in the sky. And I go, We got like hundreds of these. Chris Bledsoe was the first one to show up, 2015, this beam. And I got the woman from Macedonia. She's got beams coming down all over the place. The one from Scotland, the beam coming halfway down and stopping in midair, like that. And they're all excited. And it's like, it's the same phenomena. They're just running up against paranormal phenomena. And so my question still is, like, where do you think this, there's a phenomena there. What's the basis of this? Why is this area so high in activity compared to Aaron? Do you believe the thing about the curse thing? That's when I started looking at it and I go, that has to be part of what this is about.
And the weird history of the skinwalkers in that area and the violent wars and conflict they had there and some weird lore and legend.
For dowsing, for sure, people, places like that, like anywhere there was a war, like battlefields and stuff, right? There's still a lot of dowsers that go to places like that. Battlefields where like hundreds and hundreds of people were killed, and that's why people can continually hear gunshots and see, you know, spirits and stuff walking around there. But also a lot of dowsers go there to try freeing the spirits up and clearing the area so there isn't so much negative trapped energy, because if a whole bunch of people die on the battlefield on one specific place or whatever, of course something's going to happen. So with all these wars and curses and stuff, that energy is embedded into the ground.
That's what I mean.
Into the ether. It's very hard.
Ground before those battles too, and they influence those battles. Maybe.
Could be. Yeah. That's what I was saying about the Steve Mara's negative and positive magnetic anomaly map. I was going to run that program today, and I just didn't have a chance. But because remember, he says the negative magnetic anomalies are the places where the highest suicide rates are, and the positive magnetic anomalies are where the most paranormal activity is. And I've looked up Skinwalker Ranch before, but I forgot which one it falls under. But so that kind of stuff could be like what's in the ground, like granite, which is, was that guy saying that today?
Yeah, the granite
and the, because that's radon gas comes up from the granite far below. So yeah, you're right. It could be like things that are built into the earth, and then that's where the... Yeah, and we were talking about the cattle mutilations too, right? And then high areas of, I asked Steve that today actually, high areas of cancer rates and downwind from nuclear power plants and where cattle mutilations. It might be these places of the magnetic anomalies that are just, you know, embedded in the earth in the first place. And that could bring about where all these things are attracted to, right? Like attracts like.
That's a little bit where I would differ with the idea that there's an outside, like there's a physical thing causing this. As opposed to the downwind, it's still always going to be us. So you cause all this downwind radiation stuff, and then you get this concept that the cattle mutilations are just happening. They're really not aliens doing. They're just happening because it's this part of the Gaia is creates this, because we're always at the basis of this thing. We're creating this negative energy, almost like the idea that we create everything. Everything is consciousness. That's the other download I got. Is it nuts and bolts or is it consciousness? It's consciousness creating matter. So whatever it is, we're creating it, and we create the good and the bad and all that kind of stuff. And we have the different interpretations. So when they had the whole thing at Skinwalker Ranch and they talked about the blue meanies, that's a big part of the book. Is these blue meanies? Don't let the blue meanies get around you, man. These are bad news. And so they see it as they run into the blue orbs. But then I look at Beta Andreasen, and Beta Andreasen's being taken to see the one, and she's there, and this blue orb is following her around. And then at one point in the regression they say, well, the blue orb, I mean, do you think it's protecting you? Yeah, I think it's protecting me. So she's in this same as Chris Bledsoe, this real religious Pentecostal view of thing, and everything is positive to her and everything is going great. And you have these two interpretations of blue orbs, that one says they're totally evil and the other ones are saying they're good. And when I posted it, all sorts of people were saying, oh, I've had blue orbs all the time. They're the positive ones and stuff like that. And it comes down to this belief system that we are part of what's happening around us. We are the ones that are creating the world. The consciousness has got to be primary, that we're always behind this, and we build this world of negative and positive and through...
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, Watch This Space, and thank you so much for listening.